4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Philippians 4, verse 4.
Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. And again I say rejoice.
Looks like you're getting the hang of it. Keep singing. We'd like to hear more and more from the congregation. The next one is Micah 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O man, what is good. Or he has shown thee. We're going to sing from the Old King James Version.
He has shown thee, O man, what is good. And what does the world require of thee?
He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of thee? But to do justly and to love, mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
Micah 6:8.
Just in case you didn't know. Micah 6, verse 8. Let me share with you a few announcements for this coming week. Hopefully, you have all received a bulletin, and we would like to encourage you to read it carefully. There is a lot that is happening in this church during the week. Today, we have fellowship meal right after this church service, and for those of you who don't know, the children of our school is having the church service this morning because this is what we refer to as an education Sabbath. And Christian education Sabbath, that's correct. So we encourage you to join us for a fellowship meal, to be part of it, part of the meal. And the word fellowship is important. It's a time when we can communicate around the table and get to know each other better, and food will be served. Also, there is choir practice this afternoon at 5:30. There is one thing that is not in the bulletin, but it should be there, and that is youth choir. And that's meeting at 4:45. You may notice that the youth needs less time to learn their songs. 45 minutes. The adult needs an hour. So 4:45 for youth choir and 5:30 for the adult choir, or for the church choir. How many of you are part of our memorization class on Sabbath morning? Oh, there are more than that.
Sabbath afternoon,
that's right, not Sabbath morning. So thank you. We have a memorization class at 6:30, between 6:30 and 7. And we are memorizing Scripture. And we are learning something about the Scriptures we are memorizing. And we are even taking some quizzes. Yes. And you're correcting your own quizzes. But we welcome you to be part of that. And we're going to continue throughout the year. We have a syllabus. It will take us through this year, through next year, until the second coming of Jesus. And after that, keep memorizing Scripture. Keep learning, filling your heart and mind with it. And it will be of help to you. And then a Vesper service at 7 o'clock. Now, again, look at this week. Tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., on Sunday mornings, we have a prayer group going. At 6 a.m., I'm the one who has been leading that. Tomorrow, I will actually be flying out from Wichita to Nashville at 6 a.m., so I will not be leading it. But we have people that have, we will still have someone here for that to lead it. So you come here at 6 a.m., and there will be people that have opened the door, and we have a good group coming up. Sunday morning to pray for the work of this church, to pray for individuals in the church, and so forth. So please, if you have a burden for it, be here at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then that's pretty much what I wanted to highlight, other than just again read the bulletin. Next Sabbath, we have a special Sabbath. We have a missionary family coming to us from Africa, and they will have the whole Sabbath, the morning service as well as Vespers in the evening. They will talk about their mission. They will have a message to share. I found that we can always learn something from missionaries, because that spirit that they display is something that is needed very much in the local community as well. So we encourage you to be here for the Shock family. You are in for a shock. The name is Shock. I don't know if that's how it's pronounced. But, yeah, it's going to be a beautiful service, I believe. And so, again, I'm thankful for you being here. I'm thankful for the support that you are in the ministry of the church. We have English language classes going on. I think those are going well. And there are many other things going on. And if you have an idea, if there's a ministry that pops up in your mind, you know, this is something we need. We have a homeless ministry, etc., that have been created by church members or had ideas that were prompted by God. Then come to us as leaders and let us look at it together. And hopefully this is something that God has placed on your heart that will also be placed on our heart. And if so, it will be something that the church can do. Our next song is one that is kind of new to me, but it's a beautiful song, and it's Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go.
Train up a child in the way he should go.
One more time.
Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. Proverbs 22, verse 6.
All right. Thank you for singing with us, and the last one is Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Give me the first line. Oh, there we go.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own.
Thank you. At this time, I want to invite you to join me as we sing together. Let us kneel as we sing together the song, Spirit of the Living God.
Living God, for the show me.
Our loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can come aside for a moment as a church family to worship you, to spend this time in fellowship, and to focus on your word. We're thankful that this, no matter what experience we had during this week, that we can find this haven of rest, this time when you are willing not only to give us new beginnings, but also to take away our burdens and to give us a new piece of paper, a new pencil to just write, start writing again. Thank you, Father, for the new beginnings you've given us, and thank you for this hour of worship. As we spend this time together, may it be to each of our blessing, and may we also be able to bless one another. In Christ's name, amen. Please join me as we sing hymn number 100 together. As our opening song, let us stand as we sing that song together.
Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning within. Thou changest not, thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, thy mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, joined with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thy own their presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, thy mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
Please be seated. At this time, the children will be taking up the Lamb's offering.
Good morning, boys and girls. Do you know what this is? And what do you use an umbrella for? Yeah. Well, there was a small community of Midwest farmers, and where they lived, there was a drought. Now, can you guys tell me what a drought is? A drought is where it doesn't rain. And those farmers were getting very sad, and they had no idea what to do, because they needed the rain to grow crops to make them nice and healthy. And all the town people needed water for themselves, too. And things had gotten so bad that there was no rain for months and months that the church decided they were going to get a prayer meeting together. And so the pastor went around to all the people and he told them to come to church. So one by one, the people started to walk into church and they were kind of sad, and they didn't really want to be there. But pretty soon the whole town sat down in the church and they began talking to each other and laughing. And the pastor saw that everyone from the town was there, so he started to walk up towards the front. But as he was walking up and he was getting ready to tell the people to be quiet so they can start, he saw a little 11-year-old girl in the front of the pew with the biggest smile on her face. And he noticed that right beside her, she had an umbrella. And at that very moment, he smiled to himself and he realized that everyone in the church was there to pray for the rain. But that little girl had faith in Jesus and she was there to see God answer their prayers. And so, as we live for Jesus every day, doing his will, we need to remember that he's always caring for us. Just like the umbrella keeps us safe from the rain, Jesus is keeping us safe from the things of the world. And so we need to trust in Him and to ask Him for help every single day. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you to keep each one of us safe today, and thank you for all your many blessings, and thank you for always caring for us. And I ask that you help us to always put our faith in you as we live for you daily. In your name, amen.
Now it is time for our morning prayer. If you have blue cards with prayer requests, you can bring them to the front. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to praise you for this Sabbath day and the privilege of coming to your house to worship. Thank you for all the blessings you have bestowed upon us this past week. Thank you for answering our prayers in the past, and this morning we have more prayer requests on these blue cards. We ask that you will answer this request in the way you know is best. Thank you for our church school, the students, parents, teacher, and church members who faithfully support our school. May each person realize the need for our church school. We know that the young people of today need meaning in their lives, and Adventist education can encourage them to commit their lives to God and to live a life of service to others. We also thank you for giving us the opportunity to work for you in Wichita and the surrounding communities. Thank you for the radio station that will be set up soon so that it also can spread the gospel to our neighbors and friends. As the students present their program on Living for Jesus, may we again commit our lives to telling others about you and your soon coming. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When we give a gift to someone we love, the giver and the receiver experience joy. Sometimes we give a gift to a person as a way of showing appreciation for something they did. Ellen White reminds us that the gifts are to be made in consideration of the great goodness of God to us. Stewardship, page 80. Today we are giving an offering for our local church. The offering will support the ministries and programs of our congregation. Our church is a part of God's family, and we are truly giving to God. We give joyfully because we have experienced God's goodness to us. Let us return God's tithe and give an offering for our local church today. Thank you. The deacons will receive your offerings. Thank you.
it out because I didn't want to carry this with me. Please stand. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him, all ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Bow your heads for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for another Sabbath. Thank you for these offerings we are giving back to you. May they help in spreading your word so that you can come soon. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
who can I send? Who will go for us? So I said, here I am, send me. Isaiah 6:8.
Today, our theme is Living for Jesus. This has been our theme this school year, and the title of our theme song. I will be reading each verse of the song, and then the students will have a reading to illustrate that verse. Living for Jesus, verse 1. Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please Him in all that I do. Yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessings for me. Refrain. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou, in Thy atonement, didst give Thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be Thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for Thee alone.
A Sabbath test. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 8. The sign of obedience is the observance of the Sabbath of the fourth commandment. The Sabbath is a test to this generation. In obeying the fourth commandment, spirit and truth, men will obey all the precepts of the Decalogue. To fulfill this commandment, one must love God supremely and exercise love toward all the creatures that He has made. The time is coming when God's people will feel the hand of persecution because they keep holy the seventh day. The man of sin who thought to change times and laws, and who has always oppressed the people of God, will cause laws to be made, enforcing the observance of the first day of the week. But God's people are to stand firm for Him. The Faith I Live By, page 291. Early in 1970, the 82 inhabitants of the small island of Pitcairn found that God watches over faithful Sabbath keepers. The ocean liner of the United States was scheduled to make a stop. This was the largest vessel that had ever visited Pitcairn, with a possible passenger load of 1,900. To the islanders' dismay, they learned that the ship was scheduled to stop on the Sabbath, January 31. Although these people depend to a great extent on selling souvenirs to passengers on passing vessels, they would not disobey God by meeting the ocean liner on His holy Sabbath day. Tom Christian, the leader in the island, contacted the Voice of Prophecy studio in California by ham radio to see whether the ship could come on Friday or Sunday. He explained that what a bitter disappointment it would be for his people if they could not sell their carvings, baskets, and other souvenirs to the passengers. He suggested that the ship either leave New York a few hours earlier or reduce its speed en route so as to arrive either on Friday or Sunday. The General Conference of the Seventh-day Adventists in Washington, D.C. contacted the shipping company about their problem. The officials declared, "We understand the principles of Sabbath observance followed by the Seventh-day Adventist. We recommend that the United States stop on another day." Accordingly, the ship arrived early Sunday morning at this tiny dot in the Pacific. God intervened in behalf of his faithful children who would not discreate his holy day. Great blessings are unfolded in the observance of the Sabbath, and God desires that the Sabbath day shall be to us a day of joy. Our Heavenly Father desires through the observance of the Sabbath to preserve among men knowledge of himself. He desires that the Sabbath shall direct our minds to him as the true and living God, and that through knowing him we may have life and peace. Counsels for the Church, page 261.
Living for Jesus, verse 2. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace, such love constrains me to answer his call, follow his leading, and give him my all. Refrain. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou, in thy atonement, didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Twice bought ponies. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19. But now thus saith the Lord that create thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. Isaiah 43:1. Every man and woman has had the ransom money paid by Jesus Christ. Ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price, even the precious blood of the Son of God. Whether we give ourselves to the Lord or not, we are his. Ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. We are the Lord's by creation, and we are his by redemption. Therefore, we have no right to think that we can do as we please. All we handle is the Lord's. We have no right of ourselves to anything, not even to an existence. All our money, time, and talents belong to God and are lent us by him that we may accomplish the work he has given us to do. He has given us the charge, occupy till I come. Luke 19:13. Do not make it a business to serve yourself and become indifferent in regard to the claims of God upon you. You are his property. Jesus has bought you with an infinite cost. Your thoughts should be kept pure. They are the Lord's. Give them to him. We can merit nothing from God. We can give him nothing which is not his own. Will we keep back from God what is his own? Do not rob God and pawn his talents, time, his talents, and his strength with the world. He asks your affections, give them to him. They are his own. He asks your time moment by moment, give it to him. it is his own. He asks your intellect, give it to him. It is his own. The Lord wants his own property. When we have given to God soul, body, and spirit, when we have kept appetite under the control of enlightened conscience and wrestled against every lust, showing that we consider each organ as God's property, intended for his service, when all our affections move in harmony with the Lord's mind, fastening on objects which are above, which Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, then we have given the Lord his own. O God, all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. 1 Chronicles 29:14. Our High Calling, page 42. A Michigan boy named Dean Heron showed his love for his three Shetland ponies by taking all his savings of $75 to buy back his runaway animals. The summer before, he had bought them with money he had earned himself. During the winter, while the ponies were being boarded at a farm, a snowmobile knocked down the fence. After a heavy storm, the trio escaped. 3 days before Christmas, the sheriff deputies retrieved the runaway pets. Before they decided to hold an auction, the police department estimated they had spent $400 for boarding the ponies. Animals running at large are sold to the largest bidder. Do I hear a bid for $30 for this pony? Asked the judge at the auction. 11-year-old Dean protested. $30? That's too much. Start at 25. The boy wanted all the ponies back and had only $75. The judge stopped. Son, are you bidding? Of course I am. They're my very own ponies who ran away. The director of the animal shelter and the judge held a hasty conference, for they wanted the lad to get his ponies back again. They resumed the bidding on all three as a package. When the 25 other bidders found out that the young owner wanted to buy back his ponies, no one bid against him anymore. Soon a friend of the family entered the bid of $75 for Dean, all the money Dean had saved from doing his chores. Sold, shouted the judge, to the delight of the young bidder. Mr. and Mrs. Harrison, the parents, rejoiced with their son. They said during the summer months, Dean rides his ponies every day. In a small way, we see illustrated in this story what Jesus has done for us. Having created Adam and Eve, God owned them. But at the devil's fruit stand, they sold out the evil one so that he had owned them and their dominion. Heaven poured out its greatest treasure by sending Jesus to buy back the human race. All may be saved, for Adam's failure was redeemed with the second Adam. Paul writes, ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. When Christ took human nature upon him, he bound humanity to himself by a tie of love that can never be broken by any power save to choice of man himself. Satan will constantly present allurements to induce us to break this tie, to choose to separate ourselves from Christ. Here is where we need to watch, to strive, to pray, that nothing may entice us to choose another master, for we are always free to do this. But let us keep our eyes fixed upon Jesus, upon Christ, and he will preserve us. Looking unto Jesus, we are safe. Nothing can pluck us out of his hand. In constantly beholding him, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18, Steps to Christ, page 72.
Living for Jesus, verse 3. Living for Jesus, wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name, willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. Refrain. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou, in thy atonement, didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Daniel in a different den. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16:15. In the experience of the Apostle John under persecution, there is a lesson of wonderful strength and comfort for the Christian. God does not prevent the plottings of wicked men, but he causes their devices to work for good to those who in trial and conflict maintain their faith and loyalty. Often the gospel laborer carries on his work amid storms of persecution, bitter opposition, and unjust reproach. At such times, let him remember that the experience to be gained in the furnace of trial and affliction is worth all the pain it costs. Thus God brings his children near to him that he may show them their weakness and his strength. He teaches them to lean on him. Thus he prepares them to meet emergencies, to fill positions of trust, and to accomplish the great purpose for which their powers were given them. In all ages, God's appointed witnesses have exposed themselves to reproach and persecution for the truth's sake. Joseph was maligned and persecuted because he preserved his virtue and integrity. David, the chosen messenger of God, was hunted like a beast of prey by his enemies. Daniel was cast into a den of lions because he was true to his allegiance to heaven. Job was deprived of his worldly possessions and so afflicted in body that he was abhorred by his relatives and friends, yet he maintained his integrity. Jeremiah cannot be deterred from speaking the words that God had given him to speak, and his testimony so enraged the king and princes that he was cast into a loathsome pit. Stephen was stoned because he preached Christ and him crucified. Paul was imprisoned, beaten with rods, stoned, and finally put to death because he was a faithful messenger for God and to the Gentiles. And John was banished to the Isle of Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. These examples of human steadfastness bear the witness to the faithfulness of God's promises, of his abiding presence and sustaining grace. They testify to the power of faith to withstand the powers of the world. They bore witness to the power of one mightier than Satan. Through trial and persecution, the glory, the character of God is revealed in his chosen ones. The believers in Christ, hated and persecuted by the world, are educated and disciplined in the school of Christ. On earth, they walk in narrow paths. They are purified in the furnace of affliction. Our Father Cares, page 311. This story tells how Pastor Johnson solved the problem of spreading the truth when the government where he lived had forbidden people to conduct any evangelistic meetings. They might kneel and pray, but no hymns, sermons, or talks were allowed. Armed guards attended the gatherings to make sure orders were enforced. Finally, an idea came to Pastor Johnson, which he shared with his elders and deacons. Finally, he asked permission of the government to have a prayer meeting on Wednesday evening. Most of his members came and were kneeling by their benches. The guards came in wearing heavy boots, their hands on their weapons. Dear Lord, he prayed, the one who knows all things, We thank you for revealing a knowledge of the future to us through your prophet Daniel, and for the knowledge of world history you have through him. Daniel was just a young captive in Babylon when you first used him. We thank you for the dream Nebuchadnezzar had one night. We thank you that you gave Daniel that same dream with the explanation. The pastor prayed for 15 minutes. After the pastor's amen, Mr. Chernoff, a local leader, began praying about the Babylonian, Medo-Persian, Grecian, and Roman empires. He thanked God that Daniel's prophecy had been fulfilled in history. Next, Mr. Stevenson began praying about the disintegration of the Roman Empire and its division into the 10 toes of the image. With tears, he thanked God that there would never again be another world power, but that Christ would set up his kingdom soon, as had been foretold in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. At the next prayer meeting, the topic for prayers was Christ's second coming. Several deacons took turns showing the nearness of the event through fulfilled prophecies. The third week, the group prayed about the Sabbath, the seventh day. The guards were listening intently. After several months of these doctrinal prayer meetings, the two guards were baptized. The new guards also became interested and joined the church. Finally, the government realized that God's word could not be stopped. They discontinued the attendance of guards. From the story of Daniel's deliverance, we may learn that in seasons of trial and gloom, God's children should be just what they were when their prospects were bright with hope and their surroundings all that they could desire. Daniel in the lion's den was the same Daniel who stood before the king as chief among the ministers of state and as a prophet of the Most High. A man whose heart is stayed upon God will be the same in the hour of his greatest trial as he in prosperity when the light and favor of God and of man beam upon him. Faith reaches to the unseen and grasps eternal realities. Heaven is very near those who suffer for righteousness' sake. Christ identifies his interests with the interests of his faithful people. He suffers in the person of his saints, and whoever touches his chosen ones touches him. The power that is near to deliver from physical harm or distress is also near to save from the greater evil, making it possible for the servant of God to maintain his integrity under all circumstances and to triumph through divine grace. Prophets and Kings, page 545.
Living for Jesus, verse 4. Living for Jesus through earth's little while, my dearest treasure, the light of his smile. Seeking the lost ones he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Refrain. O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou, in thy atonement, didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give, henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
I believe the promises. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13. Late in 1842, Charles Fitch started for the West, which was then around Great Lakes, to proclaim the message that Christ was returning to earth in 1844. One evening, as he called for repentant sinners to come forward, a big clumsy fellow arose in the gallery and started down the stairs toward the front. He stumbled and fell part of the way down the stairs. Some laughed, but Pastor Fitch called out, "Never mind, brother, it pays better to stumble into heaven than to walk straight into hell." The laughter stopped. Many of the new believers wished to be baptized by immersion. One company went with the minister to the lake and were baptized. A cold wind blew on them all. When Fitch left for home in wet garments, he was greatly chilled. But the minister had not gone far when some of the people who had witnessed the first baptism rushed up to him and and requested baptism. Back to the lake, the preacher went and immersed them. That baptism over, a third group came forward. They too had now decided to accept the salvation of Jesus. Pastor Fitch godly baptized the third group. Although he felt sick from the chilling effect of the three baptisms, he rode the next morning in cold wind to another appointment. This experience proved too much for him. It brought on a fever from which he died just 8 days before October 22, 1844, the great date about which he had preached so often. His last words were, "I believe in the promises of God." In Ellen White's first vision, she saw by the tree of life this man of God. We all went under the tree and sat down to look at the glory of the place. When Brethren Fitch and Stockman, who had preached the gospel of the kingdom and whom God had laid in the grave to save them, came up to us and asked us what we had passed through while they were sleeping, we tried to call up our greatest trials, but they looked so same that we could not speak them out. And we all cried out, "Alleluia, heaven is cheap enough." Early Writings, page 17. "Choose you this day," God says. "Today is the day for each one of us to make our decision to follow Jesus. Not tomorrow." God says, "Choose today." Satan says, "Don't get excited. Wait until tomorrow. It'll be just as well. There are lots of things you want to do before you give up all the things God wants you to give up. Have a good time first. Become a Christian later. It isn't that important. You don't need to hurry." Life is very uncertain. We don't know for sure what tomorrow holds. We have only today. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Consecrate yourself to God in the morning. Make this your very first work. Let your prayer be, "Take me, O Lord, who's wholly thine. I lay all my plans at thy feet. Use me today in thy service. Abide with me and let all my work be wrought in thee." This is a daily matter. Each morning, consecrate yourself to God for that day. Surrender all your plans to him to be carried out or given up as his providence shall indicate. This day by day, you may be giving your life into the hands of God, and thus your life will be molded more and more after the life of Christ. A life in Christ is a life of restfulness. There may be no ecstasy of feeling, but there should be an abiding, peaceful trust. Your hope is not in yourself. It is in Christ. Your weakness is united to his strength, your ignorance to his wisdom, your frailty to his enduring might. So you are not to look to yourself, not to let the mind dwell upon self, but to look to Christ. Let the mind dwell upon his love, upon the beauty, the perfection of his character. Christ in his self-denial, Christ in his humiliation, Christ in his purity and holiness, Christ in his matchless love. This is the subject for the soul's contemplation. It is by loving him, copying him, depending wholly upon him that you are to be transformed into his likeness. Steps to Christ, page 70 to 71. It is impossible for any of us to live in such a way that we shall not cast an influence in the world. No member of the family can enclose himself within himself. Where other members of the family shall not feel his influence and spirit. The very expression of the countenance has an influence for good or evil. His spirit, his words, his actions, his attitude toward others are unmistakable. If he is living in selfishness, he surrounds his soul with a malarious atmosphere. While if he is living with the love of Christ, he will manifest courtesy, kindness, tender regard for the feeling of others, and will communicate to his associates by his acts of love, a tender, grateful, happy feeling. it will be made manifest that he is living for Jesus and daily learning lessons at his feet. Receiving his light and his peace, he will be able to say to the Lord, "Thy gentleness hath made me great." Adventist Psalm, page 33.
Thank you.
Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in Thy atonement
didst give thyself for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Please bow your heads for prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.